That seems appropriate for the Super Bowl. Feed me till I want no more. You see the bowl I got for chips? Man, I am set. Hi. Thank you so much. That was wonderful. That was wonderful. We think about that, the bread of heaven. So much. But, of course, I'm preaching on love, right? You saw it on the title? Thought about love, right? Love, love, love. Boom, boom, boom. Love, love, love. Dun, dun, dun. Love, love, love. You know how it goes. It's easy, right? You guys don't know the Beatles at all, do you? I thought they would take that. I thought they would take that. It's all right. I understand. Nothing you can do that can't be done. Nothing you can sing that... It's easy. Well, see, the problem, of course, with that is that the Liverpool lads had it wrong, because love is not easy. It's not easy. Look, I'm patient and kind. Did you see that in the call to worship? Love is patient and kind. Love is patient and kind. Love is patient and kind. Love is... I just kept repeating it over and over and over and over again. Love is patient and kind. Love is patient and kind. Love is a patient... It should say love should be patient and kind. I don't know how it plays out in your life or in your house, but I can tell you in my life, love is irritable. It's resentful. If you don't have enough sleep, it's kind of hard to be loving. I have found love to be conditional. It depends how I happen to feel on that particular day, or that particular moment, or about the particular thing that's going on. I do not find love to be easy. Now, the Greeks, I don't think they found love to be very easy either, because they had all these different words for love. Some of them you know, storge, okay, that's the parent love, okay? You don't hear about that, believe it or not, you don't hear about that kind of love in the Bible very often. That word's not used in the Bible very often at all. It's the love a parent would have for a child. Philia, all right, where we get Philadelphia, city of brotherly love, all right? That love the Greeks knew all about, okay? That was a love that talked about friendship, all right? But about how we would be united together through our friendship, all right? And then, of course, in our culture, most times love gets defined eros, E-R-O-S, an erotic type of love. That's about a romantic love where two people are attracted sexually together to be into a relationship, a committed relationship, and talking about that type of love. But the love that Paul's talking about here, the love that defines Christian tradition, is agape. Agape love. Agape love by the ancient Greeks wasn't thought too much about. They didn't like that kind of love because there was no it was unconditional love. You didn't get anything out of that love. If you gave agape love, you didn't get anything in return. And most people, when they're giving love, want something in return. But God, when He gave us His love, expected nothing except for us to receive it. For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son that we might have eternal life. The only expectation God has of the love He gives us is to receive it, because He knows if we will truly receive the blessing of God's love, the blessing of God's grace, if we will truly receive it, we will not help but be able to pass it on. It will spill out of us. It will overflow from us. It will be like a fountain living inside of us. That love feeds God's grace, and all of a sudden we find ourselves pouring out that grace. And why does God do that? Because God knows how He created us. He created us in His image. Too many times we worry about manufacturing our own image, getting our hair just right, or our clothes just right, or our makeup just right, or something else, wanting to make sure that we have the right image. And God keeps wanting to tell us, you already have the right image. I created you in My image. That's what God says. God is reminding us of all the time. You already carry the most important image. You carry the image of God. And in the world that we're living in today, that image needs to be made manifest and shared all the time. Too many times people are getting distracted with false images and other pictures of what power looks like, or popularity looks like, or what beauty looks like. And God is saying, that is not the image. Appearances can be deceiving. You know this. You know this. Appearances can be deceiving all the time. It's not about how beautiful someone is, or rich someone is, or powerful someone is. Appearances can be deceiving. I've shared it with you before, a wonderful African folk tale. And in the way that the story goes is that there's a particular tribe, and every year the tribe would gather once a year, all the different clans who belonged to that tribe. They would all gather one mass big meeting. And at that time, marriages would be arranged and weddings would be celebrated and all of that would be going on. And in that tradition, in that culture, the way that a young man was able to get a wife was to go to the wife's father. And he would bribe the father, give the father livestock. The going price for a wife, one or two goats. That was top of the line right there. One or two goats. Not a sheep, a goat. That was high praise. And the gathering is there, and here's this young man, and he is just smitten. Smitten. You know what it's like to be smitten? Just smitten with this young maiden. Now, the young maiden's just an average-looking maiden. She's not exceptionally beautiful. She's not exactly, you know, over-the-top lovely. She's okay. But he is so smitten with her. And he goes to her father, and he says, I will give you 10 goats. Never in the history of that tribe had 10 goats ever been given for any woman. Not even a pretty woman, not even a beautiful woman, let alone just a plain, ordinary. And of course, the father's like, done, we're good. 10 goats. All the other guys in the tribe are just laughing at this guy. Oh my God, 10 goats? Really? Really? I wouldn't have given you a sheep for that one. Are you crazy? Just, oh, they mocked him. They ridiculed him and all that. They go away. They come back the following year. Here's the young man, and they remember him. They're making the jokes and the insults. They go, hey, where's your 10-goat wife? And he explains, no, she's not with my clan. She had to take care of her mom. She'll be coming in later with her mom's clan and all of that. And so the tribes are gathering, and all of a sudden they see this beautiful woman. Oh, what clan is she from? And they're all looking at her like, oh, my land, who is that? Who is that? And the young man says, you don't recognize my wife. That's my wife. What changed? She came to understand that in the eyes of her husband, she was a 10-goat woman. In the eyes of someone who truly loved her and cared for her, she became aware of what her true image really was. So many times we get distracted in the world and we allow the world to thrust its image about who we are. Oh, you're just this person, or you're just that person. The boss says this, the clients say this. Sometimes even our spouses or friends say this and this and this. And God says, that is not who you are at all. I was opening up with the Beatles song, Love, Love, Love. God, do you not know in Zephaniah 3, God says, I sang over you. I sang over you when you were born. I love you so much. It breaks God's heart to know that so many times we allow other voices to dominate His, and that we fail to hear His song. Loving us, reminding us that we are created in His image. Jesus says you're worth more than sparrows. You're worth more than 10 goats in the eyes of God. You are. the very image he intended. He loves you so much. You say, but I got all these faults. Yes, you do. Every single one of us, sinners before the eyes of God. Every single one of us have weaknesses, faults, terrible things we've done, terrible things we've said, terrible things we've thought. And God says, you are still mine. I refuse, God says, to let any sin separate us. Nothing can separate us. Nothing can stop my love for you. Not sin, not death, not imperfections, not weaknesses, not faults, nothing. And by that, God means nothing. Nothing. The desire to be able to be loved for who we are. Who we are. Allowing God's love and grace to come into our life. It's said that God loves us just the way we are, but loves us too much to leave us the way we are. And when we receive God's love, transformation begins to take place. When we begin to experience forgiveness, all of a sudden we find it a little bit easier to forgive somebody else. Because what? Because we know what it's like. We know what it's like to be wrong and to be forgiven. We know what it's like to have hurt someone and then been healed. We know what it's like when we allow other people to understand honesty. Relationship God desires to have with us is one based on love. A desire each of us have. Each of us. God continually wants to remind us to see ourselves not as the world sees us, but to see ourselves through his eyes. And he sees us as precious. Back in the early 1900s, Ernest Hemingway wrote a book about a father and a son, and the son, they're coming up into the teenage years, and they start butting heads, and they start having this conflict, and they have a terrible, terrible fight, and the son takes off and runs away. And it breaks the father's heart. And the book unfolds as the father continues to search and search for his son. He wants to reconcile with his son. He wants to find his son. He wants his son to know. And he goes everywhere. He can't find him no matter where he goes. He asks. He shows pictures. No luck. Finally, he ends up in Madrid. He ends up in Spain. He's almost out of money. He's out of time. He's got to get back. In the early 1900s, they had newspapers. And he takes out an ad. And the ad says, "Dear Paco, I love you. I forgive you. All is forgiven. Meet me in front of the newspaper office at noon tomorrow." The next day at noon, there's the dad at the newspaper office. In 800 Pacos. All of them desperately searching for a father who would love them, forgive them, and reconcile with them. The desire of God for us is one of love. It's not judgment, it's not condemnation. Is a life of grace, recognizing that if we ourselves can receive that grace, it will spill over. We don't have to live in a cold, cruel world where everyone is judging people and condemning people and frightened of people. But we can begin to carry the image of God out into a world that is based on graciousness and love and understanding and forgiveness. Because we recognize that deep down, that is something everybody yearns for. All anybody ever wants is to be loved. And that's the very first thing God does, is love us. Love, love, love. Boom, 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 boom. Love, love, love. Dun, 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 love. See? It is easy. It is easy when you let God's love come in first. Amen.